Dr. John Duffy. He's a clinical psychologist. He wrote Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. Sort of family therapy is his specialty. And interesting story today about millennials really being hit hard by this pandemic and the isolation. And then I think it all also gets tied into the civil unrest, too, because it's kind of one gigantic poop sandwich that everybody's taking a bite out of every day. And the millennial generation seems hardest hit here. And one of the reasons I find this very interesting is because the idea of physical touch has been lost in this. And I think it affects a lot of people, but specifically millennials. What are your thoughts on that, Doc?
You are so right, Ro. And I've wondered, like, why millennials more than anybody else? And part of the reason is a lot of millennials are single. They live alone, or they might live with one other person, and never really have been without any type of physical touch any other time in their lives other than these few months, and realize how vital it is to connection and mental well-being. And on top of what you described as kind of the poop sandwich of furloughs and job loss and all the uncertainty, and an uptick in drug abuse and a lot of drinking puts them in kind of a really kind of difficult spot, and one that a lot of the millennials I'm working with are struggling to find their way out of. It's like punching their way out of a paper bag. They don't even know where to start.
Well, how about hope, though? I mean, that's one of the problems, and I know that it especially, and I hate when people say, oh, the media, because that's way too monolithic of a concept here, because it depends on what you're consuming, what information you're getting. But it does seem like there is less hope in the environment than there should be. I mean, we know that this virus is not completely under control yet. We will probably not have it completely under control in short term, but eventually it will. Things will get back to normal. And do you think that the loss of hope here is, I don't know, you can teach around it?
Yeah, you know, Ro, it's so you've stumbled upon probably the most insidious problem here. This was a problem for millennials long before the pandemic hit or any kind of civil unrest. Millennials don't see a very bright future for themselves. So there isn't a lot of hope, and everything that's happened in the last few months since then has diminished their degree of hope. There was a study that came out in the last couple of days that talked about the percentage decrease in people who are unhappy, the increase in people who are unhappy, and it's down to like the 20s or the teens. Millennials are at the bottom of that. So they feel less hope and less happy right now than any other age group. And so I think you're right on it that somehow from growing up, from being teenagers and now being millennials, they've never felt a strong degree of hope. Now you add the pandemic on it and some of the job situations. And I find that what we're supposed to do, what's incumbent upon us in my field, is to instill hope in these young people, because they do lack it, and that sometimes is the sole idea behind a good therapeutic technique.
Yeah, well, I got two millennials right here sitting here, and would you guys agree with what you're hearing here?
To a degree, based on my friends, I think it's a little hard when you look at millennials in this business, because in a lot of ways we're used to doom and gloom being surrounded by the news. But I would definitely agree.
Speak for yourself. I think Kevin is Kevin's not really a doom and gloom guy, but go ahead.
Well, me specifically or him?
No, I'm just saying in general. Is this what amongst your friends is what I'm trying to get to here?
Yes, there's a lot of people that are really experiencing anxiety for the first time. Everyone's always worried about a job, you know, especially our age, being 30, you know, coming out of college, we were not in a good situation in the job market already then.
Right.
And people have struggled to start their careers. And now maybe they're starting to get their footing and everything's falling apart.
Kevin?
What was the question, Ron?
Are you, has this destroyed you as a millennial, I suppose?
Oh.
And I don't want to make light of it, because it is, I mean, I know that this is like, even the suicide rates are high for millennials now. They're like through the roof in terms of rate. You know, on average, because of all the things that are going on, what do you think is hitting your generation as hard as it is?
Yeah, just the uncertainty of it all. I mean, the ripple effect of this is going to last essentially forever, right? I mean, for decades and decades, we're going to feel some sort of impact from this. I think for a lot of people my age, it's job security and moving forward. And what is the work? You know, the workplace environment was already really trending in this sort of direction anyway with our generation, which was working from home and different sort of office lifestyle where it was so much mm-hmm. different. So I think in that regard, I think a lot of my friends who have been working from home have actually been able to deal with it fairly well from, you know, compared to people who maybe were so used to just your 9 to 5 every day, Monday through Friday. So in that regard, I think we've been able to handle it pretty well. For me, I think it's just the anxiety of I guess everybody feel, like Lauren said, we always sort of feel what's the future ahead, but especially now, like what's the economy going to look like? Have people found that they don't necessarily need as many employees that they had before? Those sorts of things. You know, for a lot of friends who are starting families, who have newborns and things like that, I think that's a huge question mark.
Yeah. Dr. Duffy, does this sound familiar to you?
Oh, it absolutely does. And it's so interesting to hear, right, that uncertainty seems to be the driving force between that hopelessness. And if you think about being around 30, about Lauren and Kevin's age, you know, you think like, okay, you're getting started. You're right. You finally found your footing maybe after struggling to get your career going. And then you start thinking about like, well, am I going to be able to afford a home? And will I be able to support a family if that's something I choose to do? A lot of those things that I'm past in terms of age, these guys are right on the cusp of. And I think it gets to be pretty scary when something comes along that you don't anticipate at all, that really throws the whole culture sideways, and you're really not sure, as Kevin was saying, how this is all going to play out, you know, whether it's work-wise or how it's going to affect me personally or whether I'm going to get sick.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, hold on. Don't anybody move. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. We're specifically talking about millennials here, but we have some people who are there are some people who are parents of millennials, and there's also some people who have just left the millennial thing because it's the hopelessness thing here, and I don't know how to best influence people to realize that this too shall pass. Probably the mm-hmm. most important four words that anybody can hear at any given moment when they're down, because this too shall pass. It really will, and being able to make people understand that is different than just saying it to them. So I'm talking really about millennials here, because there's a number of stories out today looking at studies of how millennials have been impacted by the pandemic and now the social unrest, and they're really the fear of the future, which is a very significant thing, because again, as we were mentioning with Kevin and Lauren, who are kind of right in the heart of the millennial generation at 30 years old, there is well, one of them's 31, but I won't say who. They came out of college at a moment, or they came, you know, into the job market, let's say, at a moment where there were no jobs in the late 2000s, and now they're seeing it again after sort of being teased, if you will, by this. And the drug rate is up, the alcoholism rate is up more than it is actually in the general population as a function of that. And it's a pretty scary thing. Let's get to some phone calls. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Chris, you're on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Ro.
Hey, Chris.
Great to speak with you. I've got two things I want to say about this. Number one, there's an excellent book that I read about 20 years ago when I had a similar crisis. I was in my mid to late 20s, and a very good friend of mine then and still now recommended I read a book called The Quarter Life Crisis. And it was an excellent, timely read at that point. It really spoke to me and all the different angst and uncertainty that you kind of grapple with at that age, when some people that you know are progressing faster and further than others, and you're not, or maybe you are, and it just helped frame my perspective about what I felt I was living with and living through. And I don't remember the author's name, but I think it's an excellent read.
Quarter Life Crisis.
And the Quarter Life Crisis. And I think your producer read it too. Did you know he can read, by the way?
I was not aware of that. I've learned something new. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Chris. What else? What was the other thing you wanted to say?
I got one more thing. You know, at that time, I had been through the tech bubble bursting. Okay. You know, that got laid off. 5 years, 6 years later, we had the Great Recession. Didn't get laid off, but it was a pinch. I mean, there's always something that is going to be disruptive. And right now, COVID is certainly exacerbating the otherwise usual disruption I think we're all living with and having to grow increasingly comfortable acclimating ourselves to a more constant uncertainty. That's just the world that we live in and the evolution of how we're living our lives. The other thing I'll say is this. Life has a way of doing this. Just when you think you've made the ends meet, life comes along and moves the ends on you. And that's true no matter when or where you are in your life.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris. Excellent call. Now, John, Dr. Duffy, yes, shrink of the show, he makes a very important point, which is things are... things can rock you at any given moment, but this is particularly unusual. There's really no way for anybody living right now to be able to explain to anybody else living right now exactly what this is, because none of us have been through this.
Right. No. So Chris brings up a really good point. Every generation has its challenges and its struggles. And in fact, you know, The Quarter Life Crisis is actually an updated book now that helps guide a lot of people through a lot of that. But it is not updated for this. And I think it would be really tricky to try to do that, because this is, you know, we're using the word unprecedented week after week after week, but it really is. And so, you know, to your point, you know, hopelessness is kind of epidemic right now. And I love your mantra of the idea that this too shall pass, and even this will pass into something that feels more normal. I think it's easier to see when you're in your 40s and 50s than when you're in your millennial years and you're not kind of imbued with all this experience that suggests that, yes, everything's going to be okay. It's hard to kind of grab onto that, especially when your livelihood feels like it's at stake. So I think that's tricky.
And one of the things that I've been preaching, you know, to my kid and to her husband is that, you know, this is a moment where things are changing, but incredible opportunities can come from this. You know, that whole idea of like chaos, right, is the ancient Chinese concept of it's disaster and opportunity meeting each other, you know, and it kind of what it is. I mean, there are things that are going to change. And I suppose it's the uncertainty we get. And especially in the American mindset, we think, well, all right, we're going to do, if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 will follow. And that's not necessarily always the case. And I think that's one of the things that we grapple with as a culture, that there's an expectation that if you do the right thing, you do this and this and this, that essential fairness will kick in. Doesn't always. Some people get, you know, better treatment than others, essentially.
Right. And there isn't this kind of fundamental fairness, right? You can't really keep score and just think I'm doing the right thing, so the right things are going to happen. What I think happens when we're thinking uncertainty, though, is we are in the place of fear that's kind of early in the process of change. To your point, like, there's always opportunity in the wake of crisis. So if you can kind of look through the uncertainty to think about, like, okay, so what inspires me? What's the opportunity built into this crisis? Then you can find some degree of hope, you know, but that takes a lot of presence of mind and putting fear at bay, and that's difficult to do.
Well, fear at bay is really hard here, too, because no matter what you do, and it's not irresponsible reporting in the main here. There are concerns, whether it's a government official or news organizations that are quoting government people or scientists or whatever it is. I mean, it's a scary moment. And yes, it's scarier for older people and sicker people. There's no question about that. But it's scary for kids. I mean, I know that, you know, both Lauren and Kevin, I mean, they've got, you know, parents that they have to be concerned about. I know my daughter's worried about me, and I'm the picture of health, Doc. I don't know why she would be so worried about me. But the But, you know, it's like they don't just want to bring it home to anybody over the age of 50 or the over the age of 60 or whatever it is. And so the responsible kids. And then there's the ones who are less responsible that I yell at in the streets. And all of a sudden I found myself, I'm like that guy. I'm like that guy that used to be, you know, I would like look at a guy that was running around screaming like on a soapbox about something in the middle of the street about, you damn kids. And now all of a sudden I'm that dude. I'm like, what am I doing? When did that happen? But it is a thing because you're looking at them. All right, now you break it up here. You people aren't social distancing.
Right.
Oh man, it is something. All right, I want to get one more phone call in here quickly, doctor. Before we go, all right, Andrew, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Great show.
Thank you.
With me, as I was talking to the person on the phone. My perspective is, I'm 36, and I graduated in 05 from college, and I got a lot of the same verbiage that they give a lot of kids still today, unfortunately, with the whole, we're gonna put you in a job placement program, and it's going to be great, man, you see. And then when you get out, you find out that's not really the case. And it took me a while to get into my field. I'm a graphic designer, and I just wanted to offer, you know, anybody that's young and listening, you know, just some encouragement, you know, just keep the faith, you know. It's funny that the caller, he was saying that he read a book, and I said, it's funny, somebody gave me a book, too. It's called The Holy Bible. And it's not all about eternity. It talks about a lot of things to encourage you, in this life as well.
Andrew, I want to tell you something. You are 100% right. There are stories in there of just about day-to-day getting by things, getting along with people,
yeah,
or understanding, you know, how to foresee something and trust your instincts on it and all of that. And that is an excellent, excellent point. Andrew, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Dr. Duffy, thank you for being the shrink to the show. Your check is in the mail. We've got news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming away in two.